Tonight I have just one question for us. How committed are you with your Christian walk? Or to put it another way, how determined are you with your relationship with God if you're a Christian? Especially when life is really tough. Because the psalmist in this passage is going through intense suffering. You may have picked up hints of this situation as the passage was being read. He mentions such things like he has suffered much and that he's in physical danger. And yet he doesn't allow his circumstances to dictate his walk with God. You see, the psalmist, he really wants to follow God. He knows that God is good. He's been great in his life and that his word is wise and it's stable. But he's finding it really hard. But because of the truth he knows regarding how stable and how wise God's word has been to him during his life, the psalmist doesn't let his suffering finish him as a believer. And so instead, he resolves to keep walking in the light of God's words with a godly determination and with uncompromising loyalty. So, if we want to know how to keep walking the Christian life, as I'm sure we do, especially when life is really tough, and whatever that might be, then Psalm 119 has an answer for us. Simply put, walking in the way of God's word requires godly determination with uncompromising loyalty. We will spend the rest of our time this evening looking at those two components, starting with godly determination from verse 105. This language of godly determination runs throughout all these verses. So if you look at verse 106, it says, I have taken an oath and confirmed it, that I will follow your righteous laws. Again, verse 109, I will not forget your law. Verse 112, my heart is set on keeping your decrees to the very end. And the reason why the psalmist is so determined to keep walking the Christian life is because of the truths that he meditates on in this passage that allow him to keep going despite his suffering. So the first truth we can see in verse 105 about God's word being light. So if you have a look at verse 105, it says, your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. Now, verse 105, it's quite a famous verse. We've been singing about it. A lot of Christians particularly love verse 105. I mean, it's one of those verses that's seen on many fridge magnets in the home, or also heard him many times in prayer meetings, if we're honest. But what does this verse actually mean? I think it's worth pausing to trace the theme of the light and the lamp in the Psalms, so that we don't misunderstand what the psalmist means in verse 105. Well, it turns out, actually, that the lamp that lights a path is primarily in the Psalms to do with godliness, more than it is to do with guidance. I'll say again, the lamp and the light that God's word is, it's more about godliness rather than it is to do with guidance. The lamp is needed to keep believers on track and stay safe in God's covenant and therefore not stray off the path into danger. So just one example, Psalm 56 verse 13, for you have delivered me from death and my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before God in the light of life. That's just one example. There are loads of them in the Psalms. So God's word, the purpose of verse 105, the light here is to keep believers like you and me safe in God's covenant and to keep walking the path of godliness rather than knowing whether to turn left or right, but to keep walking onwards and not fall into traps of unworldliness. And therefore, the proper response is in verse 106. It says, I have sworn an oath and confirmed it. In other words, I've made a public definite decision to keep God's righteous laws That is, I am going to walk by the light of God's lamp. Now, to be clear, this is not, you know, some sort of arrogant, big-headed claim. But rather, it's a declaration of dependency on God. Because the psalmist, he knows that he and all other Christian believers like you and me are walking a path with many traps. The psalmist is suffering greatly, as we've already seen, and he knows that he needs God's lamp to light up the path. Verse 107, I am severely afflicted. And verse 110, the wicked have laid a snare for me. The language of snare here in verse 110 is the language of trappings. So if you were to go to just north of Vietnam in Saigon, you can see, tourists can see traps that the Vietnamese have laid out for American servicemen to trap and maim the servicemen. And it's really horrific to see. It's monumental images of cruelty. And kind of like that, we Christians, we believers, we have many traps, as it were, as we walk the path of Christianity. And so we need God's lamp to light the path so that we don't stumble and fall into the traps. So God's word, the word of God, it's our lamp to light the way so that we can walk in it safely and therefore not stray from God's precepts. It's brilliant, isn't it? That God has provided us his lamp to keep us safe in the Christian life. It's that truth that motivates the psalmist to remain determined to keep walking the path of the Christian life. But the psalmist doesn't stop there, does he? In verse 111, the psalmist also invites us to glimpse with him the end of the path. So at verse 111, it says, your statutes are my heritage forever. They are the joy of my heart. The word heritage or inheritance is used 59 times in the Old Testament, and it refers to the promised land. So in Exodus 32 verse 13, Moses prays to God, remember your servants Abraham, Isaac and Israel, to whom you swore by your own self, I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and I will give your descendants all this land I promised them. And it will be their inheritance forever. So my heritage, my inheritance in Psalm 119, it's my place, my plot of land, as it were, in the new creation. But what does the psalmist exactly mean when he says, your statutes are my inheritance? Bit of a puzzling thing, isn't it? Well, to explain, I think, the best way, I think it would be best to say, he means that God's written covenant word guarantees to him his place in the new creation. So just as God's people during the time of Moses, who had no actual land, but the Lord was their inheritance. So the statutes of the law are our anticipation and by way of guarantee, our heritage as believers. And therefore they cause joy to well up in our hearts. So this is why in verse 112 you get the psalmist's affections moving. He says in verse 112, my heart is inclined to perform your statutes forever to the end. He's saying, I am determined to walk the path of Christian obedience because God's lamp allows me to keep persevering and I will be rewarded come the end of the path. And so I ask all of us tonight, how determined are you to keep walking the path of the Christian life? Particularly when things get tough and you're tempted to stop walking, to walk sideways, as it were, or walk backwards, fall into the traps of the world. How determined are you to keep God's lamp, as it were, burning brightly and therefore keep walking to the end? Walking the way of God's word requires godly determination. But it also requires uncompromising loyalty. In the second half of this passage, starting at verse 113, we see the psalmist lining himself up with God in his attitude to the ungodly who surround him. The psalmist knows that if he is to be truly determined to walk the way of God's word and thus remain loyal to God, then he would need to have no loyalty to God's enemies. Have a look at verse 113. It says, I hate double-minded people, but I love your law. You are my refuge and my shield. I have put my hope in your word. Away from me, you evildoers, that I may keep the commands of my God. These verses, they act a bit like a sandwich. On the outside, you have the divided and the evildoers. And on the inside, you have the psalmist with a loyal assertion that he can really trust God. So verse 113, the psalmist, he's deeply averse to those who have divided loyalties. Now, to be clear, he's not talking about those with honest uncertainty, but rather those with a sinful heart. Like the people of Elijah's day, if you can remember, who, as 1 Kings chapter 18 puts it, they hobbled first on one leg and then on the other. They were divided between opinions. They wanted God, but they also wanted Baal. They were divided in their loyalties. And the psalmist here says, I hate them. I'm not going to be loyal to them. I'm going to distance myself from them, but I love your instruction, verse 114. Now then, to me, this is a bit bizarre as a contrast. Because after having a verse about hating the double-minded, one might expect to see the psalmist loving the single-minded, you see? But instead he says, I love God's word and instruction. And the reason I think he says this is because, verse 114, you are my refuge and my shield from the double-minded. You are where I shelter from the strife of tongues, Psalm 31. You are the hiding place where I shelter in the day of trouble, Psalm 27. You are my shield when under attack. I hope in your word. Therefore, verse 115, depart from me, you evildoers. We've already seen in this passage a description of the wicked in verse 110. They're laying a snare, they're laying traps for him. And the psalmist is saying here that I want to put a distance between myself and those evildoers. That is to say, I must be in the world, but I will not be of the world. And I will take great care about the kinds of partnerships and fellowships I join, so that I won't be unequally yoked with unbelievers, 2 Corinthians 6. I know that friendship with the world is enmity with God, James 4. And I must therefore keep this distance, that I may keep the commandments of my God. The psalmist, you can see he's really aware of his human weakness and of his temptations to sin. And because he's so determined to keep walking in the way of God's word, he has to walk away, as it were, from those who might tempt him to go astray. Now, to be clear, when the psalmist talks about distancing himself from evildoers, he is not referring to physical proximity, but more like an avoidance of partnership. He knows there's a difference between living in the world and being of the world. So he doesn't want to be overly influenced by the world's values. That's a challenge to us, isn't it? It's a challenge for us to choose the kinds of friendships we make and the kinds of friendships that deepen. We want to make friendships with unbelievers so that there may be bridges that the Lord Jesus can cross. But those friendships are going to be different from the kind of fellowship that we have with believers, with the saints, with those who fear his name. And the psalmist is very aware of that. And so he prays in the next few verses to that God would sustain him according to the promise that he's made. He's asking that God would keep him safe, verse 116. He's very aware of his weakness. And so his prayer in these verses is that he wouldn't be led into temptation and that he'd be kept in the way of the Lord, surrounded as he is by the double-minded, those evildoers. He knows the weakness of his own heart, you see. He knows that by nature, he too, like you and I, have divided hearts. And he knows that unless the Lord upholds him by his grace and according to his covenant promise of perseverance, he cannot be safe. He knows that perseverance is only by grace given in answer to prayer. And that's why he prays, God, sustain me, keep me going in your ways. So now in verse 118 and 119, the psalmist, he returns to meditating again on the divided, double-minded evildoers, but from God's point of view. So he says, I am not going to be loyal to them. I want them to depart from me. I want there to be an appropriate distance between me and them, 115. And the reason is because they are in terrible danger. I wonder if you noticed that. He says, verse 118, you toss aside all who go astray from your decrees. These people, they think they are weighty people, people of substance, people who are somebodies. But you just toss them aside as nobodies. Just as you did with the mighty men of Jerusalem during the time of the exile, using the same word, Lamentations 1. So here's the thing, brothers and sisters. The moment you and I go astray from God's word and wander away from the path is the moment not only when I have tossed God aside, but also more terribly the moment when he tosses you and I aside. He gives me up to my choices, as it were, Romans 1. And that is what the psalmist has in view in verse 119. He says, you don't take them seriously. You regard them as no value because of their deceitfulness and their delusions come to nothing. The Hebrew word here translated for delusion or cunning in the ESV is used in Jeremiah on three occasions to describe the false prophets. And it may just be a hint that the psalmist is surrounded by enemies within the people of God. He understands what it is to be within the church and to have enemies within the professing Christian church or the equivalent in his day. But he also understands that in God's sight, their delusions, their cunning, their wrong teaching, their wrong behavior, and their attempts to trip him up, they all come to nothing because God will toss them aside like dross, verse 119. They think they are silver. They think they are valuable. They think they are substantial people. But God discards them like dross. Now the psalmist knows this full well. And yet as he meditates on this, he is terrified. And his whole body trembles with fear. Verse 120 is an extraordinary verse. Just take a look. Many English translations put the word awe or fear here, but we need to be careful in what the psalmist means. The word awe, in terms of fear, it's not referring to Proverbs where it says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom, the good kind of healthy, reverent fear. Actually, it is the word terror. It's sheer dread. It's what Pharaoh's army experienced in Exodus 15 at the time of the crossing of the Red Sea. And the psalmist says that his flesh shudders. It's the poetic language of a horror film. As my hair stands on end physically, I am terrified when I think of your judgments. When I think of the judgments to come upon those double-minded people, I'm shuddering physically. Verse 120 is not about awe or fear in terms of reverence. It's utter terror of God's judgment on the wicked. John Calvin comments that it is evidence of no common wisdom to tremble before God when he executes his judgments of which the majority of mankind take no notice. I wonder if some of us tonight have shuddered with terror at the judgment of God. I wonder if we prayed, Lord, please may that not happen to me, because without your grace, it will. It's a challenge to us, isn't it? This healthy view of terror and the judgment of God. This fear of hell. The psalmist has understood that he should not fear the powerful human beings who can kill the body, but rather fear the one who has the power to destroy both body and soul in hell, Luke 12. This is why he's so desperate to keep his distance from the double-minded, from these evildoers. He knows they are in terrible danger, and he doesn't want God to toss him aside like dross along with the rest. And so, brothers and sisters, I ask this. Do we feel this healthy terror at the judgment of God? Or are we lulled into kind of like a cozy cooperation with the world? Into a sense that we must not be too different. That we must learn to fit in. That it isn't helpful to our evangelism if our values are too different. Do we feel that it is better to be one of the boys and girls and therefore be accepted by sort of the inner ring, the inner crowd? My brothers and sisters, we need to fix firmly in our hearts the terror the psalmist feels here. His conviction that God tosses aside all who go astray. I really think we would do well to shudder for fear of him. Because the one who is our hiding place and our shield, verse 114, will also be our terror if we go astray. And to those who have already gone astray. So we really must cast ourselves on God's grace daily to be kept in his way. As a final reminder, as we've been looking through this passage, if we want to walk the Christian life, if we want to keep going when life really feels tough as a Christian, for whatever reason, walking in the light of God's word requires of us to have a godly determination, knowing that God provides us his lamp to light the path and thus keep us safe from worldly traps, whilst at the same time giving us a glimpse of the end of the path. It also requires us to have an uncompromising loyalty towards God, knowing that he tosses aside those who are double-minded and go astray. It requires us to be living in the world, but not being of the world, lest God tosses us aside also on that final day of judgment. As I've been thinking about this and preparing this, it's really convicted me, and that it's really reminded me that I, for one, need God's grace daily to make myself more like Jesus Christ. Don't we all? Don't we need the grace of God to make us more like Christ? The one who was never disloyal to his Father, but he always kept determined to follow God's word, God's will, even when it came to the crunch point, when he was walking on that road to Calvary, to the cross, to his death. All his life, Jesus remained fully obedient to his Father because his mindset was one of godly determination and uncompromising loyalty. Despite walking a path marked with sufferings, he always kept his lamp fully lit. And as he did so and kept walking onwards, he could see that his death wasn't at the end of the path, but resurrection and ascension. And so, my brothers and sisters, as we keep walking the path of the Christian life, putting one foot in front of the other, however hard it might be, if we keep our lamp of God's word fully lit, we too will also see not just our current sufferings and circumstances, but we will see what lies beyond them at the end. Our guaranteed place in God's new creation. So brothers and sisters, let's keep going with Christ-like perseverance and faithfulness. Let us sing this psalm with Christ being our lead singer and conducting us through to the very end of the Christian life, where we pray he'll say to us, "Well done, my good and faithful servant."